Okay.
Hey, everybody. I'm Liz. I'm a sex and love addict.
Liz.
Grateful to be here. Thank you, Chris, for asking me to be here and speak. So when I identify as a sex and love addict, for me, that's an umbrella term. I can, at any given moment, slide into fantasy, slide into intrigue, dabble in porn, maybe with the masturbation too much. I can be anorexic, I can be an avoidant. And so for me, it's just kind of easier just to say sex and love addict, but it's all the things. For those that don't know me, I will go back a little bit just to kind of give you an idea of like what brought me in here. So I was raised by two parents that struggle with codependency, avoidance, and addiction. And the way that that looked, if you were to go into my parents' bedroom, my mom is very, it was worse, it's better now. My mom was very, very strict with like her Christianity, and you live by the Bible and you have to follow, you know, what God says, or you're a terrible person if you don't. And my dad was more worldly, and he was objectifying to women, and he was the alcoholic. And so you go into their bedroom, and my mom would have a Bible on her nightstand, and my dad had a Playboy on his nightstand. And I'm the product of that. So very mixed messaging. I would, growing up as a teenager, you know, my dad was very inappropriate with me and my sister. He crossed boundaries that should not be crossed by a parent. And he would encourage us to use our bodies and sexuality to get what we want in life. Very specifically, you know, show certain body parts, you'll get a discount. And then I would have the opposite side with my mom that was like, this is a sin, you're gonna go to hell, you're bad, you're terrible. And so it was like, okay, am I going this direction or this direction? And then if I go this direction, I'm gonna be punished. And then if I'm punished, I'm bad and I'm worthless. And so it didn't give me a very good foundation to start life with. And I was also raised that children are to be seen and not heard. So I didn't have a voice growing up. Very authoritative parents, very punishing parents. And so a lot of the times I felt kind of lost and kind of like I was raising myself. My mom did provide a safe home for us. She kind of overcorrected a little bit because of her own trauma from her sexual abuse growing up. And so she had her own fear of men and instilled that fear of men into me, including keeping me away from my father as a baby. So she overparented. And then that instilled a fear of men for me as well. So fast forward to, you know, teenage years, my identity, I didn't really have one. I always kind of tried to fit in everywhere I could, because I wasn't really taught how to find one, how to get one. I wasn't shown what healthy relationships look like. I wasn't taught how to be respected by a man. I wasn't, you know, shown how to have healthy friendships. And so I would spend time with criminals, spend time with gangs, spend time with, you know, or become the cheerleader, like very opposites, you know, contradicting personalities and behaviors. Got into alcohol, got into drugs, was addicted to meth for quite a few years. And that was more about body image for me. That's what it started as. I was thin in high school and I wanted to be even thinner because we live in LA and that's the thing, right? And late teens, I was involved with someone, and I did get pregnant twice with that person. I have two children. They're not children anymore because that was high school. But that relationship, I ended that relationship because he was not someone that I even was really that interested in, but he was giving me the attention that I felt I needed that I didn't get from my father. We'll fast forward a few more years, got involved with a couple more unavailable partners. For me, my addiction, I think the best way I've been able to like really narrow it down into like what's like underneath all of it. And for me, my addiction comes in the form of getting. My addiction comes in the acquisition, in the almost, in the edge of connection, in the intrigue, in the fantasy, because that's where I felt safe, because that was the level of intimacy I had growing up. It was very chaotic. It was, I don't know which version of my parents I'm getting. And so that translated into my romantic relationships. So I did have a couple more engagements because for me it was, you know, get him to fall in love with me, get the engagement ring, I'm so worthy of love, and then wait, whoa, I don't want to marry this person. Called off those engagements, went to therapy, started having panic attacks, and my therapist was like, I think that this is a lot bigger. I'd love for you to check out these meetings. And I had never heard of SLAW, never. I knew about all the other ones. I'd been to AA meetings, I'd been to NA meetings. And I had also started going to Al-Anon as well. So I came in to a newcomers meeting 14 years ago. And when I came in, I was in such bad shape. Like every moment of my waking day was spent in either the pursuit of or trying to keep somebody's attention. I could not handle being on my own, in my own head, with my own thoughts, in my own body at any given moment. I was so uncomfortable and felt so much fear all the time. I did have a lot of traumatic events. I don't need to go into those details, which just exacerbated the fear I had in my body. And I realized that I could get what I wanted by putting on this act, this performance. If I express this energy, then I can get that energy back. Those moments when I'm in, does he want me or can I get him to want me, are when I feel the highest and the best. Once it turns into either a yes or a no, it's over. So the no is like, okay, bye. And the yes is like, oh crap, now I gotta do something about this. I either have to get involved or I have to cut it off. So again, going back to the intrigue and the fantasies, where I felt the safest is because I didn't have to fully show up. I didn't have to be authentic. I didn't have to be vulnerable. I could have fun and in the meantime, try to get them to fall in love with me anyway. Because that was how I viewed my worth at the time, was if I could get someone to fall in love with me. And I used my sexuality to get it. So when I came in, because I had spent, like I said, so much time in that pursuit and in those acting out years, I was not taking care of myself or my responsibilities or my children. Right when I came in, I had an eviction letter on my door. My car had been repossessed. I was recovering from a terminated pregnancy. I had gotten a horrible review at work. I didn't have any healthy relationships. I'd never been truly in love. Like it was awful. Suicidal, depressed, anxious, panic attacks, you name it. And so when I first came in, I met this incredible woman who kind of took me under her wing, and she became my first sponsor. And we set my bottom lines, and I had a lot of them at the time, which is good. I needed that then, right? I needed it to be very, very strict for a long time. I needed to set everything down so I could strip everything away and find out truly who is Liz? Who is Liz? I had to redefine God because I only had my mom's God. I had to redefine what that meant for me and what that looked like for me. I had to redefine my values, my morals, not based on what was instilled in me and shoved down my throat, but what truly feels good for me. And so while working the steps, being of service to meetings, having sponsees, my sponsor, speaking at the jails, institutions, developing friendships in here and outside of there, outside of the rooms, I started to develop myself as a more whole person, a person that doesn't feel like I'm gonna die if I don't have a male's attention, a person that no longer feels like I can't make it through the day unless there's a man that's my higher power, other than my true higher power, which I call God. And through trial and error, it's been a long road for me. I've had a lot of things that I've had to work on, a lot of things that I've had to, you know, try again, fail and try again, fail and try again, fail and try again, and that's okay. Because there was a lot of damage done to me and in my life. And even with sober dating, I've dated partners who are just like my alcoholic father or my addict brother. And I've had to see where I'm still trying to save my dad through saving this guy. Or I had it flipped backwards where I was like, I need to get the emotionally unavailable man to love me to prove that that's real love. And I had it totally backwards. If an unavailable person doesn't love me, then I must not be lovable, because that's what I thought was real. And so there's been, like I said, a lot of undoing and redoing and rediscovering and rebuilding. And that's what's so great about being in here, is we get to rediscover ourselves, like as many times as you need to. We get to start over as many times as you need to. You get to try something and go, you know what, that no longer works for me. I get to do something and go, I think my values have changed. I think my morals have changed. This no longer feels good to me. This type of dating, this type of person no longer feels good to me. And so while doing all that, I've been able to also build up my outside life, because my whole life was recovery for so long. And what I've learned is that while it may be needed for a while, and especially in the beginning, if my whole life is based on recovery, meaning all I do is go to meetings, all I do is step work, and all I do are hang out with people who are in these rooms, the addiction's still running my life. So I have to have a life outside of here. I have to have interests for just me. I have to have friends that are not in the 12-step rooms, that are healthy and safe for me. And so I'm trying to mush all that together and make this bigger life for myself. And today I can honestly say that I have those true friendships, that I have people that love me unconditionally, and I have men in my life that are safe, that are not romantic men, that show me what it looks like to be valued by a man. And I get to use that and then hopefully take that into a romantic relationship. When and if the time comes, I'm giving it to God. It's not up to me. I know that I am safe today. I know that I am loved today. I know that I am worthy today. I am not worthy because I'm loved. I'm loved because I'm worthy. And I deserve that. We all deserve that. We were born worthy. We were born worth it. And my everything outside of here, because this does get into, it likes to creep into all areas of our lives. My career has just completely gone up the ladder, and I'm in a leadership position of one of the most respected companies of the world. I'm being asked to write personal statements for people who want to do internships for the district attorney's office, because I have integrity and dignity, and they value me, and they value my words and my heart. They know my heart. I'm, you know, again, with the messes, still cleaning up certain things. Like this year, my focus is on, I'm going to be hopefully out of debt by, if not the end of this year, then middle of next year. I'm working on some health stuff, some hormonal imbalances. Like, there's just a lot. Life is in session, right? But I get to do all that, and I'm capable of doing all that because of the work that I did in here. Because I looked and faced all my demons and set aside all the stuff that was destructive to me. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. Does that mean I don't have slips? No. But no matter what, I keep coming back. I live according to my top lines, which are not all just bubble baths and manicures and pedicures anymore. They also involve rigorous honesty at all costs, including my sponsor when I tell her, hey, I'm in obsession about someone. Hey, I'm, you know, struggling with this. I'm gonna wrap up in just a second. So I wanna say that, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm a completely different person because of this program. And I agree and disagree. I'm still me. I'm still an addict. But I show up and behave in a totally different way as much as I possibly can to my power through my higher power. So thank you for letting me share.